You could have been a supporter of any football team. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. You could have been following the champions of the Champions League. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. What's all this stuff you're giving us? There's just one team for me, and that's the town where I come from. In Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley. Hello everyone and welcome back to Ravens Weekly for another episode this week. I think I should have done my research on this. I think we're on 140 now. Is that right?
I think we are, yeah.
140. That is crazy. How quickly that has gone.
Were you part of the first ever one?
I was part of the first ever one, but I think that was before the numbered episodes that we've got now. So there are actually more than 140. But
can you remember that first?
I can remember the first episode. It was myself and David Cook at the time. Yeah. Before we were working full-time at the club, we were doing it ourselves. And then we kind of scaled it up a little bit, and that's when I think these numbering of episodes started. So I'd actually be intrigued to dig out some of the old podcasts. And
did someone write a jingle?
We used to have. So when we first started it, we used to say, we used to have somebody saying, this is the official Bromley FC podcast in their own language. So, for example, we had someone say it in French. We had someone say it in, what was it? I can't remember. There were a few other languages as well. And we even had a couple of people writing in and emailing in, saying it in their own accents, in English, but in their own accents, which is pretty cool.
But the whole, hello, I'm Paul Gascoigne, and you're listening
to... but that this was before all of that. Yeah. So this became, you know, this became the thing that it is now. But you're right. We did then also get people to introduce each episode of the podcast. So, you know, the manager would do one. Paul Gascoigne, as you said, did one. And I actually remember walking up to Gazza on that day in the Ravens Lounge and saying, Gazza, would you mind introducing our podcast? And he was more than happy to do it. He had a little chuckle to himself. And as I held the phone up to for him to speak into, I was like, I can't believe I'm stood next to Paul Gascoigne recording him introduce the Ravens Weekly podcast, which, yeah, is incredible. But, you know, it you kind of look back, and hopefully we're bringing people a more comprehensive podcast than ever with, you know, packed with information about things going on behind the scenes at the club. And hopefully you're all enjoying it. And again, I seem to say it every week, but we really genuinely do appreciate the comments. Quite often myself and Josh are stopped by people who, you know, want to tell us how much they enjoy it. We've often got the odd joke about how long it is as well, because some people just can't handle the length of the podcast. In all seriousness,
Matt just rambles on.
I certainly don't ramble on. Well, one of us has to say a few words, don't we? No, in all seriousness, it's really obviously taken a new level now with the equipment that we've got in here, Josh. And yeah, the calibre of the people and the guests that we're having on a weekly basis is incredible. So that was a little trip down memory lane that I didn't expect.
Yeah, that was good.
That wasn't in your running order.
It wasn't, no, but we take turns, don't we?
We take twists and turns, just like the journey of supporting Bromley Football Club. It's a roller coaster ride, and, you know, so is this podcast, let's be honest.
It is, yeah.
But anyway, going back to things we are looking to talk about today, and we're going to start with somebody that we couldn't really speak about on the last podcast because everything hadn't been finalised yet, and we weren't anywhere near an announcement as we did some of our recording a little bit earlier than normal last week for various reasons. However, it's the return, Josh, of Deji Olarewe, and we're going to talk to Andy Woodman later on this podcast about just what an important character Deji was and is in the dressing room once again. But he's just such a great guy to have around the place, and just, I don't want to overuse the term down to earth, but that's what he is. He's just happy to be here.
Yeah, he was so happy to be back. When we were walking around with him, he kept saying how, you know, obviously it is hard for him how it ended with the whole sending off at Chesterfield, especially after scoring the winner at Woking. It's, you know, you go from one extreme to the other, but I think he's determined to, you know, help us in our journey, whether that's until January or longer than that. Obviously he's only on loan until the new year, so hopefully that is extended if he does, you know, make the same impact he did last season. But yeah, he's happy to be back, and we're happy that he's here.
And unfortunately, he wasn't able to play in the FA Cup. So, you know, you can look at that as a disappointment, but also now he was in the building from last Thursday. He's now had the time to bed back into the squad. And just seeing him walk around, it's like he'd never left, really, isn't it?
Yeah, because even in the... it was Andy's Manager of the Month award, which we'll talk about in a minute. But, yeah, he was going to be part of that as well. And we had to sort of say, you know...
Oh, yeah. We had to say, sorry, Deji, you can't be in the photo.
Yeah, I felt so guilty. Because he is the nicest person in the world, isn't he? And I was just like, yeah.
We'll leave that to the gaffer to tell him. Exactly. But in all seriousness, what a play we've got on our hands. And you look back, he scored an important goal away to Maidstone in the National League in that hunt for the playoffs, if you like. And that goal at Woking, Josh, I really liked the announcement video that you did of Deji watching the goal on the screen. It's almost become, well, it has become an iconic moment.
I mean, it took about 10 goes because, you know, the video is quite a long clip and it was on loop and, you know, you have to get a good shot.
And you don't want Jackie walking around in the exactly. in the background.
Exactly. People going in and out of Broomfields and Deji turning around before I said turn around, you know, it's just one of those things. But yeah, no, it was good and... I think he enjoyed watching that goal back over and over again.
Well, I enjoy watching it back over and over again, to be fair. But yeah, welcome back to Deji. You can find the interview and the press release regarding his signing on our website, bromleyfc.co.uk. And who knows, we may see him in action over the course of the next couple of games. And we'll talk about those games very shortly indeed. But Deji will be wearing the number 3 shirt for the duration of his loan at the Relocatum Community Stadium. And it was a Thursday match, Josh, moving on to our under-21s for that team. And it's a bit strange playing on a Thursday. I couldn't really get my head around it. But it was a trip to Woking, ended in a 1-1 draw. So the run goes on. They'll be disappointed not to win that, though, won't they?
Do you know what? I think it's sort of become a little bit of a thing of going to Woking. I think last season they went to Woking on a Thursday as well. So I don't know if that's just how they want to do it, but... But yeah, the unbeaten run carried on, and obviously they'd won the win. But yeah, they'd be happy that they didn't lose. Woking are a good team, and they've always had really good young players. I know that may have been wrong a couple of years ago. I think Woking were up there with Bromley in the league. So you know, it's always been a tight encounter, and it was a last minute equaliser from Bromley as well.
So the unbeaten run nearly came to an end, but like you say there, Josh, last minute goal. Never say die. Who does that remind you of the week before? Josh Pasley, 95th minute.
Sorry.
No, it's good. It's good. I'm testing you. I'm keeping you on your toes here.
That's fine.
But it's true, isn't it? You know, you talk about the mirroring of the attitude and the desire. You can see it in the women's team. You can see it in the under-21s, and you can see it in the men's team. And you're seeing it filter through to the academy now as well.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, no, definitely. And, yeah, obviously, I think we said last week it's hard for the 21s in Jamel. And I know Bez spoke about it. Spoiler, he's on the podcast today. But the difference between men's football and the 21s is purely to help develop players. And it shows when, you know, we're losing players like Sam German, Noah Joyce and whoever. So obviously, naturally, we get drawn to the results and, you know, we look at the results and the performances. But for Jamel and the academy, the under-21s, all they care about is developing these players. And I think it's more of a success to see, say, Noah doing well or Kamara doing well than, you know, these under-21s winning every week. So... Mm. I mean, the more players that go out on loan get that experience, obviously it will have an impact on, you know, the 21s. But, you know, in the grand scheme of things, that's how the young players rise up to where they need to be.
Well, you're absolutely right there, and we'll talk to Andy Woodburn about that and the impact that it can play in the lives and careers of these young players. We look back at the examples of Ben Crowhouse and Kellen Fisher and other players as well, and we'll quiz Andy about that later on in this podcast. Talking of Sam German and the under-21s, his loan spell at Herne Bay has been extended for another month, and the reports back from there have been very, very positive. They're loving having Sam German on board, and congratulations to him. It's quite a big thing, isn't it? Like you say there, to step out of under-21s football, boys football, in inverted commas, if you like, into men's football. At that age, you've got to remember he's still very young and have such an impact, and an early goal in his time there surely would have helped his confidence.
Yeah, well, he had another successful loan spell last season as well, didn't he? So I think he's used to it this time round. But I think if you see what happened to Kellen and Ben at Cray last year, You just never know what could happen. You could be there a month, you could be there a season, you could be there, you know, for a couple of months, come back, play first team football, and then go back out on loan. You just never know what can happen. But, you know, it's definitely beneficial. And I was at the Slough game on Tuesday night. I saw George. Obviously, he's a little bit older, but even so, like, I could tell the difference in George playing for Slough compared to when he was playing here. But I feel like his confidence has just shot up. He was wanting to win every ball. He was commanding on the pitch. He was having a go at his teammates. He was, you know, a real captain in that team. And I think that's what you need. He'll come back to Bromley, a completely different player, which is the same for Marcus, same for Sam, same for all these young lads.
It's brilliant to see. It really is. And, you know, we love following their journeys. And the feedback from every single club is so positive with regards to these young players. And long may that continue. We might have some other news on young players going out on loan after this podcast, which, of course, we'll bring you via our website and social media as well. Back to first team affairs then. And we had the fourth qualifying round of the FA Cup at the Relocatum Community Stadium last Saturday. That was the 14th of October. And when the draw was made, there wasn't a great deal of excitement over the prospect of another home game with Wildstone, the second time in as many months. However, they're usually high-scoring games, these ones, Josh, and certainly an entertaining one. In the first half for the right reasons, and in the second half, maybe not for the right reasons from a Bromley perspective.
Yeah, I mean, in the first half, obviously, we dominated play, didn't we? But at half time, I was stood in the gantry with Joe, our analyst, and I was like, this is going to go one of two ways here. We're either going to, you know, continue to dominate the game, or it's going to be a really tough second half. And yeah, it proved to be a really tough one. And I think we weren't lucky to come away with, you know, with the win, but I wouldn't have been surprised if it went to a replay.
It's a little bit closer than we'd have liked, wasn't it? So to sum things up, on the afternoon, Alex Kirk, on his debut for Bromley, his first appearance, his first start, scored within the opening 7 minutes. A brilliant cross from a Ben Crowhouse corner, and Alex Kirk did the rest, powering ahead at home. And Michael Cheek added to that in the 18th minute after a brilliant ball in from Josh Pasley and a lovely flick goalwards by Olofela Olamola, facing up against his old team just a week after joining Bromley from Wildstone. And then Ben Crowhouse added a third after just 30 minutes with a brilliant run through on goal and a finish.
Such a good goal, wasn't
it? 1-1. It was a really good team build up, that.
Yeah, Michael Cheek, who was it? I think it was Fella, wasn't it?
It may have been, yeah. And we talk about it. Actually, at 0-0, Grant Smith makes a massive save from Micah Obiero. Otherwise, Wildstone would have taken the lead, and who knows what sort of game we'd have been facing.
Yeah, well, Andy said in his interview, didn't he, that, you know, the first goal was going to be the important one, and yeah, it proved to swing in our favour, and it did.
Well, the second half was less of one to remember from a Bromley perspective, as I said earlier on. Max Kretschmar got the first goal of the afternoon for Wildstone on 54 minutes, and Nathan Ferguson, who had a very, very, very brief spell with Bromley, I think it was back in 2017, got a goal back, another one in injury time at the end of that second half. So it was a nervy couple of minutes of injury time after that for Bromley. But Wildstone were much improved in the second half. You know, it's not all about us taking our foot off the gas, which I think we did, you know, and I think Andy has kind of talked openly only about that, but also Wildstone did put up a much more of a fight in that second half and made it a closer game than perhaps it should have been from a Bromley perspective. But Josh, talking about the crowd on the day, and we'll get Andy's thoughts on it later on in this podcast, but to get just under 2,000 for a game of that magnitude, you know, like I said earlier, the two teams have already played each other. It's not the most exciting tie. That's really impressive.
Yeah, the thing is, I can, you know, if I was a season ticket holder, and obviously you've got to pay the, you know, the admission fee for this game, and you see it's Wildstone at home, a part of you does think, should have a weekend off. So the fact that everyone turned up and, you know, carried on that support and, you know, paid that little bit extra for the cup games, which, by the way, is an FA thing. It's not the club's decision to do that. But, yeah, it was a really good turnout and it helped the lads, didn't it? So, yeah.
Absolutely, it did. And the support on the day was absolutely brilliant. Thank you so much to each and every one of you who came down to the game and backed the team to victory on a game of two halves, as we'll call it. And we'll catch up with Andy Woodman later in this podcast for his thoughts on that one as well. Ultimately, Josh, by hook or by crook, we got there. And that meant we were in the draw, in the hat, on Sunday afternoon. Usually it's Monday night.
Yeah, well, to be fair... Yeah, the early qualifying rounds are usually Monday, but I remember the Rotherham one was a Sunday as well.
So oh, was it?
I think from round one onwards they do the draw on a Sunday, but yeah, it was a good draw for us and
Blackpool at home. Everyone's gonna know that, but
yeah, no, it's good. Obviously they're doing well this season, and I know we'll talk a bit more about them in a couple of weeks, but yeah, they're one of the similar to when we drew Rotherham, one of the, you know, the tougher ones we could have drawn. But it's one of those, if we win, it's obviously amazing. And if we lose, it's no real surprise. But I know Andy and the players will be out to, you know...
Make a point.
That's what I was looking for.
Winners of the FA Cup back in 1953, Blackpool.
Well... They were only in the Premier League, weren't they?
Yeah, they were. Not long ago at all.
Charlie
just,
Adam, Marlon Herman.
Yeah, can you... Gary Taylor Fletcher.
Neil Earth.
Ian Holloway. Wow. Incredible stuff. But in all seriousness, it's going to be great to welcome them down to the relocated
Ian Everett.
Community Stadium. Ian Everett. Yeah, of course. Look at him now. Manager himself, isn't he?
He is.
Absolutely brilliant job he's done as well, particularly with Barrow. But in terms of the next round, we are currently awaiting further details of that, and they will be announced when they are available, basically, which we hope will be in the very short-term future. And we look forward to the day. I'm sure it's going to be an absolutely brilliant atmosphere, and we know the support's going to be incredible once again. So, like I say, we'll bring you further details on that when we have them, and tickets will go on sale as soon as that FA confirmation comes in and everything is in place. So do keep your eyes on the website, bromleyfc.co.uk, and also on the socials. Moving on, and we had a player on the podcast this week who has really grown into his position in the time that he's been here, and it was a real pleasure to sit down and catch up this week with Bez Arctopolodge.
Bez, welcome to the podcast. How's it feel to be, you know, surrounded by all these mics? You were mentioning about your headphones earlier. It feels a bit weird, doesn't it?
Yeah, just hearing myself feels a bit weird, but yeah, it's all right.
Right, firstly, we've got to talk about that injury the other week. How are you feeling?
Yeah, I'm all good now. At the time, mostly my head after, I was just hurting, but now don't feel anything, feel fine, just ready to go.
Let's go back to the very start of not your footballing career, but as a kid, who did you look up to?
Zidane. I watched quite a few Zidane clips. That did get me in trouble at Scholar because I was watching Zidane clips all the time when I should be watching defenders, but yeah, at the time it was mainly Zidane.
When was it for you when you realised that you wanted to be a footballer?
Young, probably like, I don't even know, but young, very young. That's all I really wanted to do, just play football, and that's it.
And then you obviously started at Millwall. How was that for you to sort of progress through their academy, obviously being in and around their under-21s as well? How was that journey for you?
Yeah, it was good. It was tough, but it was good. It helped me a lot to get where I am now. And it's different because that sort of first team and 21s are so different. 21s is more about like development, like playing well. Then as soon as you go into first team, it's just about winning. Don't really matter. Just get the 3 points and go home.
Obviously, we're really happy that you're here, but did you envisage your time at Millwall to last a little bit longer than was planned?
50-50, because I just wanted to play first team football. Like, I got sort of bored of just training first team and just playing 21s. I just wanted to play first team, like games, actual games, first team football, instead of just training and then playing 21s, training, playing 21s. Just got a bit repetitive.
When you came into the team, when you came to this club, first of all, what were your kind of preconceived ideas of what it would be like? First of all, when you came to the club, and also the level of National League football, what did it feel like when you first took to the pitch and got used to the level?
Yeah, I always knew it was going to be tough, like physically, but yeah, as soon as you play, it's a lot quicker than obviously 21's football. It's a lot quicker, a lot more physical. It's a lot of like, so spinning it down channel, get ready, you got to be aware all the time. And yeah, it was just a lot of physical, to be honest.
And in terms of your first impressions of the club, when you first walked in, how did you feel?
Yeah, everyone made me feel welcome. It's always different coming to a new club. You always feel like, oh, I don't know if I'm going to get along. But everyone made me feel a lot of welcome. And the facilities here are good, staff good, everyone's good.
And you obviously came on the initial loan spell, and it looked like you really enjoyed yourself there. Yeah. When the opportunity came around to move here permanently, what was your thought process when that came about?
Yeah, as soon as I had a chance to come here permanently, then I was more than happy to come, because I enjoyed mostly my loan here. I enjoyed it, enjoyed playing every game. Everyone made me feel welcome. It just felt right being here.
And how would you reflect on last season as a whole? Obviously, you know, history made in terms of the progression to the playoff semi-finals, and a gutting end to it, in all honesty. But do you look back on that season with a lot of pride?
Yeah, but obviously, I feel like we could have got promoted, to be honest, but we didn't really get to the final. But it's a bit sweet, because we done well getting to the semi-final, but then I just feel like we could have got to the final and got promoted, really, to be honest.
We were close, weren't we? How have you found working under Andy Woodman and his management team so far?
Yeah, they've helped me out a lot of my game, especially a player like Dunny, because he's been sort of fullback my position, so he helps me out a lot. Andy Woodman helps me out a lot. Steve helps me. They're all very helpful. If you ever need something to like work on or anything, they're more than welcome to help you.
And you've been in brilliant form this season. I think we really missed you when you were out injured as well. How have you felt in your own performances this season? And how have you felt about the team and what's going on so far this year?
Yeah, I feel like we're just getting better and better. Obviously, the first two games didn't start off well. Then after that, we just hit the ground running. Then you can see from the results, I think it's one loss in 14, I think, or 13. You can see we're just getting better and better. But yeah, I think as a team, we're all together. We play well. Like, no one really... If anyone makes mistakes, no one really gets onto them or anything. Everyone's just together. That's the main thing, being together as a team.
You made your return to the starting lineup last week in the FA Cup game. How did you feel out there?
Yeah, it was good. I felt fine, really. Didn't have any problems with my head or anything. Just felt fine. Happy to be out there, back again.
And obviously the result, game of two halves, really. Looking back at it, in complete control the first half. A bit more of a difficult second half, but ultimately, in the hat, what's your reaction to the FA Cup draw?
I'm buzzing, to be honest, playing Blackpool at home. Buzzing to, I feel like we can beat them. If they come here, we can beat them. It's not impossible. Anything can happen in football. So I feel like I'm happy for the draw.
Before that, though, we've got three National League fixtures, and the first two are back-to-back home games. You looking forward to those?
Yeah, always playing at home. So that's the best thing. It's in front of the fans. The fans really like help us a lot as well. Like, especially away days when a lot of the fans come. They do make a difference. Sometimes it might seem like they don't, but they do. Especially when you hear them, it just sort of gives you that extra push to do more.
I was going to say that, actually, as one of the last questions. The support this year, it just seems to be that bit louder, and the away attendances have been great as well. When you walk out onto the pitch and you see that, it must be beneficial to you.
Yeah, as soon as you hear them, that just gives you the extra motivation to go, say, press down someone or win the ball back, or because at the end of the day, they are like the most important thing for the club. So we basically do it for them.
And we talk about the group that we've got here, the group of players. It really is. I think it's the best group of players we've ever had. But it's not just about the players in terms of the footballing ability. It's about the characters. Can you shed some light on what the dynamics like in that dressing room?
Yeah, you got a mix between obviously the older players and the young players, but the older players do everything to help the youngest players, and obviously they're more experienced, so we just take on board on what they say, and they do help a lot.
I was going to say, you talked about Dunny, but you've got some great role models in the team as well, including none other than Byron Webster, another former Millwall player as well.
Yeah, he helped me a lot in my game as well. Just the little things like he does in games where he talks to you, but that will make a lot. That makes a difference. Like, he'll tell you where to be, and that after you just realise how big of like impact he is to the team.
We've had quite a few new players come in, not only in the summer, but throughout the start of the season. And it just seems like everyone, day one, they're settled in. They're part of the furniture. How does that happen in that group?
I think it's just the team. Like going back to when I first come here, like, I was always 50-50. I'm not going to fit in, because you're going to a new team. You don't really know anyone. But everyone's just welcome. So they've made the other players feel welcome. Everyone just, don't know, it's just, everyone here is so friendly and so nice. It's just perfect, really.
There really seems, just to finish off, we talked about last season and, you know, being nearly there. There is a real belief in this team that we can go one better this year, isn't there?
Yeah, I think everyone in the change room feels that we can get out of this league, we can get promoted. And everyone's more confident enough that we can do that, especially looking at our squad now. Like, the depth we have, if someone gets injured, God forbid, or whatever, someone can go straight into the team and they're more like they're good enough to fit into the team straight away.
Well, Bez, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on today. Thank you so much for joining us, and best of luck for Saturday's game.
All right, thank you.
Thank you to Bez for his time with that interview. And we're moving on now to the Bromley women, and we're delighted to be joined. She's making a regular thing of appearing on Ravens Weekly now, Andrea Ellis. Andrea, welcome back.
Hello, Matthew.
It's Matt. You can have your own, unless you're my grandmother, God rest her soul. It's Matt, definitely. But yeah, we'll gloss over that and we'll carry on. Moving swiftly on from the debate over my name, thank you to Josh for your input on that as well. We're here to talk about the fantastic Bromley women and the amazing season that they're having. They've had a pretty good week, haven't they?
It has been a brilliant week. Just drying out from last night, actually. A brilliant and wet week. Had their first ever midweek fixture last night at the Relocatum Stadium. So, brilliant night for everyone there. Thanks for everyone coming out.
So it was a 2-0 win on Sunday away to Staining Town, which is a good result. And then coming back into the week, like you say, don't normally play on a Wednesday night. That's normally a training night for the team. However, there was a rearranged fixture, I believe, which was Welling United, who, of course, the two went together and faced each other in the FA Cup not long ago. And it was a pretty comprehensive performance, wasn't it?
Yeah, 6-0. So it was all done and dusted by half time, to be honest. Charlotte Lee, another hat trick, nearly a double hat trick with 5 goals. So comprehensive game there, performance.
I was going to say, she is absolutely incredible, Charlotte Lee. She didn't score on Sunday against Staining. It was Beth Hull and Bryony Hart who scored on that day. But to score 5 goals, I can imagine she's the sort of person that will be kicking herself over not getting the double hat trick.
Yeah, I think she might not forgive us for saying that. I'm sure she went home last night thinking about what could have been with the penalty that was a little bit off target. But, you know, these things happen. I think she, someone in the crowd rightly said, stick to the back to the bicycle kicks.
Which, if you haven't seen it, that goal a few weeks back, and that was in the FA Cup, wasn't it?
It was, Seven Oaks.
It's on the FA Women's Cup socials, isn't it?
It is, yeah. Goal of the round.
Unbelievable.
I mean, it kind of is a bit like a fan. I've seen a couple of bicycle kicks and overhead kicks, and you know, Charlotte Lee's is right up there. It was that kind of slow-mo and everyone going, oh,
it just,
in the stadium.
You look at the picture when she's kind of doing the bicycle kick and it's almost like time stood still, isn't it?
It is. It's, everyone knows what's going to happen. They just hope it, you know, nestled in the top corner, which obviously it did. So, I mean, she's just completely on fire, isn't she? I mean, every time she gets the ball in the box, you expect her to score with that. So, could have been six, but 5 will do for the evening.
But it was 6 for the team. It's a fantastic victory. 8 goals in 2 games and 2 clean sheets as well. The team are in some form this season.
Yeah, I mean, their goalie as well. I mean, she's only 16 or 17, I think, as well. So really good to have those clean sheets. Conditions were really, really awful last night. But we had over 130 fans turn up, which was brilliant. And the girls had mascots. And it was just great. I mean, we had some of the crowd singing "Charlotte's on fire, your defence is terrified."
I'm sure they were.
Absolutely. Welling didn't know what to do.
Well, this is absolutely brilliant for the Bromley team that, like we say, are on such good form at the moment. But like you say there, you allude to, the crowd have also been brilliant. And there's been a number of supporters that have gone home and away to the women's game and really showed support for the Bromley women.
Yeah, big shout out to that. There's a nice little group growing, actually, of supporters that are devoted home and away. So it's really, really good to see. And what's really good as well, I think last night there were quite a few people who have club memberships, and obviously they're using that opportunity to attend all the women's games for free as well. So really good to see some regular faces, some new faces. And it's something that we're looking to do. We're looking to grow the match day experience here at Bromley for the women. We know that people really enjoy coming, and we want to make it more like the men's experience. And I think it would be great to have more people around. And our next home games are 29th of the month against Herne Bay. And we're going to be organising some opportunities to play on the pitch beforehand, some flag bearers, mascots, tour of the club. So you get my iconic tour of the club.
Well, it is very... I've not had that experience, unfortunately.
But, I can take you now.
Can
if
we
you
book
want.
It in, please?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Once we've recorded this podcast.
It is good. I was part of it, wasn't I?
You were. You took some photos.
You need some showing around, don't you, to be fair?
I know. I know.
In all seriousness, you did an amazing job last night of, like you say, making it feel just like the men's match day does, and that's exactly what it should be. And you had a number of young girls who joined you, actually. Despite the weather, they really weren't put off by taking the half-time penalties.
No, they weren't. And what some massively brilliant finishes. I just have to do a bit of a shout out, actually, to my under-9 girls. So they came out on the pitch. So we had Lottie, Connie and Evie. I'm really sorry if I've forgotten anyone else's name, but they were there. Some brilliant top bins finishes there. So, yeah, really good to see them. I mean, kids don't care about the weather, do they? So it was brilliant to have them out there on the pitch. And I was thinking when I was standing there rolling the ball to them, you know, how many places do you get an opportunity to go onto your club's main stadium pitch during half time of a game and go and wallop the ball in the back of the net?
And actually, Andy Woodman talks about the DNA across the club. I think you can now see that in the women's team, the men's team and the under 21s. Everything seems to be harmonised now and pulling in the same direction.
Yeah, I mean, it's brilliant that the league performances for both the men and women are very similar. They're mirroring each other on the pitch. And I can see as well with the women's team last night, you know, a great sense of unity, everyone in the dressing room at the end celebrating, and they knew that they put a good shift in. So it was great to have that photo. And obviously, you know, we love seeing that one after the men's game as well, everyone in the dressing room. So yeah, definitely one Bromley, onwards and upwards, and it's really going to go forwards, and we're going to make a lot of progress. And just anyone out there that's thinking, oh, I've never been to a women's game, come and give it a try, because it's such a great experience. It's really one of the girls there last night, it's the first game she'd ever been to, and actually the mum contacted me this morning to say what great time she'd had.
And we saw the photo which went out on Twitter, which again mirrors what Andy has instilled in the men's team. It's the group photo in the dressing room. You were in it after the game.
I know, I sneaked in. You know, and me, I love a camera.
We actually mentioned that to Andy, didn't we, as well? And yeah, it's something that's really just taken off.
Yeah, it's, I think, you know, there's a lot of it that you can have as far as what you do on the pitch, but what you do off the pitch as well counts for so much. So that sort of team spirit. And the other thing as well is, I think I just want to bring out that, you know, what was really great last night is that we had Bromley Belle Verity, who is learning the photography trade. She took some amazing pictures, amazing photos for us there. So a big shout out to her as well. So that's part of the family. But also Sophie Peru, the goalkeeper for the women's team, she's been injured. And I think, Matt, I've said this to you before, but you're going to have to watch out. Watch your back, because she is superb on the mic.
I know. She's so good.
Yeah.
And we did, I don't know. I think she's pipping Matt.
Do you know what,
Andrea? It's funny, because I'm looking for a new co-host for the podcast as well. Would you be available?
I think Sophie's coming next week, isn't she?
Yeah.
Oh, brilliant. I look forward to meeting Sophie.
We can have a PA off.
Look. Do you know what? Competition for places is healthy across the board. And, you know, she may be good. I'm sure she's very good. But, you know, I'm confident I've got it in my locker as well, you know, and I don't need to prove nothing to no one.
Well, we'll let the audience decide.
There we go.
Maybe we need a vote on Twitter or something.
No, we definitely don't need that.
We love you, Matt. Big shout out. I obviously did it once before and... you make it look very, very easy.
Well, I think it's important that you say that, actually, in terms of, you know, having someone do it for the women. And Sophie's got that real connection with the team as well. So it's brilliant that that is now happening. And Josh, just in terms of as well, the media and production side of things on the women's match days, and we're getting the post-match interviews and the highlights and things like that. I think it's really important to showcase that as well.
Definitely. And I know we've got a page on the website, or more than a page, actually. But, you know, for Bromley Women's, if you want to find out when their next fixture is, if you're not already signed up to the Women and Girls newsletter, then by all means, have a look on there.
Brilliant. Is that us?
I think that's us. I just want to say that it was really, really good last night, or whenever you're listening on Wednesday night. It was really good compared to, like, say, a year ago. Just like the setup of everything and like the togetherness of the team and whatever, it was, yeah.
It's across the really club. Enjoyable. It's across the club, isn't it? I think we're seeing, like you said, it's mirroring. And we've got to factor the under-21s into that as well, because the season they're having as well is absolutely incredible. And, you know, you referred to it as the three kind of senior teams at the club, and it's brilliant that they're all pulling in the same direction. Fingers crossed that can be maintained throughout the season for everyone. And we'll all be happy.
We'll all be happy. I know they've got some very important games in November. Both so New Haven are top of the league, but only on more games played. They've both got 100% records, and they play New Haven home and away before Christmas. So we need everyone to come down for that home game.
That'll be a good game. Anyway, Andrea, thank you so much for coming on. It's always great to hear from you. And fingers crossed for more good results for the Bromley women.
Thanks, Matt.
Thank you to Andrea for her time there. It's now time for Community Corner. For once, I've managed to get the little jingle, if we can call it that there, in on time without having to mess around and waste people's listening time. but we do have a guest this week for Community Corner, and it's someone who has forged a fantastic partnership with the Community Trust in the past few months, and their support of the Ravens Chat project is absolutely fantastic and incredible. That is from Bromley Rotary Club, Christine Atkinson. Now on the podcast, we have got another special guest, and it's a first timer on the podcast today for Christine Atkinson from the Rotary Club. Hi, Christine. How are you?
Hi, Matt. Yes, first time, as you say.
Yes, very, very pleased to have you here, and we'll talk about all the work that we've been doing together shortly. But first and foremost, there'll be a number of supporters that know you, particularly in the Ravens Chat. And again, we'll talk about Ravens Chat because that's a beast in itself in a moment. But what is it you do for the Rotary Club?
Well, for Rotary, I actually belong to Bromley Rotary Club, but in our area of the Bromley Borough, we've actually got 8 clubs. So I sort of keep my eye on them as the assistant district governor. We have one district governor that covers the whole of the southeast of England. And then he has about, I think it's 10 of us as assistants in the various areas. So I sort of help them, support them if they need the support. And get involved in all sorts of things with various different charities all around just, well, the borough. So locally, nationally, and also internationally.
And what is it? A number of supporters, again, will know because of your partnership with the Community Trust, which launched earlier in 2023. But what is the Rotary Club, essentially? And I know there are lots of them around here, but what do the Rotary Clubs do?
Okay, well, the Rotary tries to... you know, sort of support, as I say, charities. We are a charity, but we basically support other charities such as St Christopher de Melza House. That will be locally and internationally. Obviously, at the moment, I mean, you know, we've been working a lot with Ukraine to help Ukraine. to help Turkey. Wherever there's disaster, Rotary generally will try and turn up. They will have a collection and financially try and support some of them. And also we've been sending all sorts of things to Ukraine. We've been knitting hats for the babies. We've been sending out modular homes for them to live in because they had their homes destroyed. So any way that we can, a lot of medical equipment has gone out to Ukraine as well. So that's been a big project for us since the Ukraine tragedy.
What you do is absolutely incredible, and we've been really pleased to learn more about that as we've got to know you. And there's the polio, which you've got on your top there, which we'll talk about a bit more in a moment. But let's talk about Raven's Chat, because when I first met you, I think it was probably towards the beginning of this calendar year, and you know, we got chatting, didn't we, and we discussed this particular project that needed some support and needed a partner really to take it to a next level. And that's exactly what the Rotary Clubs, some Rotary Clubs in Bromley have done with Raven's Chat. And the partnership has been absolutely incredible. And you yourself now have become quite invested in it and you know, being involved with the group and the club on a wider scale. How would you assess how that partnership's gone so far?
Well, just by chance, one of our themes, actually, from our Rotary International President, we actually have 1.4 million members worldwide. But the Rotary International President every year has a theme. And the theme for this year is Hope in the World, which is very much concentrating, or he wanted to concentrate this year, very much on loneliness and mental health. So your Raven's Chat was at an ideal time. And it meant that we could support them in their, you know, their meeting. I mean, they're supporting me as well because they're really fun to be around and they're very enthusiastic. They're very happy that Rotary helped them. And so, yeah, we've concentrated very much on this loneliness and mental health theme this year.
And you've learned, I guess, coming in yourself and your colleagues, you regularly bring down others from Rotary clubs as well to learn about the impact. And we've been in Rotary magazines and on social media, haven't we? We've been mentioned in the newspapers. How nice is that for you to see and for you to come in as Rotary clubs in Bromley and see the impact that you've made on these people who you are getting to know and you're getting to understand how this helps them?
Exactly. And I mean, you know, that I think that, yeah, this has really helped them as well, because I mean, one of the big things that all the Rotary clubs do is at Christmas. And I'm sure many people around the borough are used to the Rotary clubs going around with the sleigh and Father Christmas. And I remember in the very early days, one of the guys from Raven's Chat said to me, "Christine, could I be Father Christmas?" And he actually said, "Am I fat enough?"
Of course you didn't answer that question.
No, but he was actually asking me the other day, I'm happy to be Father Christmas and, you know, we'll come and help. They've been to quizzes that have been arranged at Rotary clubs. So, you know, it's a two-way thing. So we're supporting them and they come and they support our events too. They've taken off one because another big one that we do in the area is the fireworks. So that raises a lot of money for two of our clubs, for West Wickham and Chislehurst.
It's brilliant to see all of these clubs kind of coming together to support these good causes. Mm. So how many clubs are there in this area?
In Bromley Borough, there are 8. In the district, and our district goes all the way down to Eastbourne, all the way down to the coast, I think at the moment there are 72, but we need more members. I mean, you know, we are maturing, should I say, aging. So we do need more members, and we would love people to come and chat with us and see what Rotary does and come and join, because I think that helps loneliness as well. I mean, it certainly helped me coming out of lockdown. It was, you know, I've been a member much longer than that, but lockdown was awful for all of us. And if people can give back, I think a lot of people do want to give back. And the other thing is we work, or we're trying very much more now to work with businesses as well, because it gives them an easy way to do their CSR, to do their corporate social responsibility. So we'd love to talk to businesses. And that actually is where Rotary started. Way back in 1905 in Chicago, it was started by a group of businessmen, 5 I think there were, sat around a table, called Rotary because they used to go to a different office of each one of them for their meetings. And then they decided they should do something good in the community. And the first project they did was actually build a public toilet.
Wow. Mm. It's come on quite fast.
It's come on very fast.
It's been great to be a part of it and attend some of the events with you that you've kindly invited myself to and get to know people and sort of the reasons behind why they're involved with it. There are some brilliant people involved with it, including yourself. Let's talk about the polio element of it, because you're actually coming down to our match on Tuesday against Dorking Wanderers, Tuesday evening, and you're going to be talking to people about what you're doing to end polio, and also having a little collection as well. So would you like to tell us a bit about Tuesday night?
Yes, we do help many other charities, as I've said, but the main project in Rotary worldwide and for Rotarians is the eradication of polio. So this started about 40 years ago, I believe, and approximately 40 years ago. And when it was started, there were 350,000 cases a year in 125 countries around the world. Now, from a personal point of view, my mother actually had polio when I was 4 years old, and she was disabled from the waist down. So that made a big difference to our, you know, to our childhood. And I always say I don't ride a bike because, you know, there was nobody there to teach us. My father had to obviously take care of two young kids and my mother. We actually, let me just double check this, okay? We, in 75 cases in 2015, so we've done a pretty good job by then. Now, at the moment, okay, from those 125 countries, we're down to two. So we've actually got two cases at the moment in Pakistan and five in Afghanistan. Now, they say it doesn't matter where polio is because it's so contagious. It's a virus. Because it's so contagious, one case, it can come back again. OK, so we've been responsible and we've been immunising the children all around the world. Everybody said we wouldn't be able to do it in India. We wouldn't be able to do it in Africa, but we have. Now, you have to be completely polio-free, OK, or no new cases for 3 years to be able to declare being polio-free. So we got very near with Pakistan and Afghanistan, but it's started to come up a little bit now, but we're trying to keep it down. And, of course, during COVID, everybody said this would, you know, really bring it back. But because they already had the structure in place, they were able to go and help with the COVID vaccinations. Now, at the same time as doing polio, they're vaccinating the children also with vitamins. So that, you know, that's helping them as well. So it's, you know, it does a lot. And it's generally children under five that are affected with polio. I remember, you know, the days when I was at school, the parents were worried about sending their children to school or sending them to the swimming bath because they could have come back with it. And it doesn't, you don't get any warning. I was really surprised. You get no warning at all. It suddenly comes on. And the paralysis, if you're unlucky, I mean, it can really paralyse. You've probably not seen, because you're all a bit too young, but you've not seen the iron lungs. When my mother was in hospital, okay, there was a hospital locally called Hither Green, and they had the iron lungs. And people still to this day, sadly, actually live in iron lungs. The last lady in this country that passed away, she passed away because of a power cut, I understand. And those iron lungs actually breathe for you because that's when, you know, the polio has affected the lungs. So do get your children vaccinated. They've been vaccinating for years and it does no harm, but it's the only way to protect children.
There's been some incredible work, just as you touched on there, going on. And it will be great to have you down on Tuesday. And you're more than happy for people to come and chat to you and learn more about it.
Absolutely. You may wonder why it's purple. We've got purple for polio. And you can see we're wearing the crocuses and the crocuses will be around. We're at the moment selling crocus bulbs. And the reason it's purple is that when we vaccinate, we actually dye the pinky, the little finger of the children, so that they know they've been vaccinated and they don't get a double dose. So that's why it's purple for polio. And I'm lovely to see that you're wearing one, Matt, at the moment.
Indeed, so, I am. Yeah, thank you. Yeah. Indeed. And we're actually going to be joined by some friends from Dorking Rotary Club as well.
Yeah, because as I say, this is worldwide polio eradication. So we all know that 24th of October is Polio Day. So I thought, well, you're playing Dorking Wanderers. They're not that far away. So I've invited some of them to come and join us. And they actually have phoned the Leatherhead Club. So one or two of them are coming there as well, because apparently one of their members supports Leatherhead Ladies Football Club.
Small world, isn't it?
Small, small world. But the other great thing is every pound or every dollar that we raise becomes three, because Bill Gates gives us two. I want to invest in that bank. And in the meantime, I want to bankrupt him by eradicating polio. So, yes.
Well, Christine, it's been a pleasure to have you on here. Thank you so much for your time. Hopefully you've enjoyed your first podcast experience. You've done brilliantly, let me tell you. And we really look forward to seeing you and everybody from the local Rotary clubs on Tuesday.
Thank you. It's a little daunting, but if anybody actually wants to see a movie about this, it's a true story. Watch a movie called Breathe. It was made not very long ago, B-R-E-A-T-H-E. And actually, the producer of that, his father got polio. It's a true story. It's a wonderful programme, actually. It's a wonderful movie. There's one or two little bits, obviously, but it's very uplifting of how the mother coped, et cetera, and the son. So watch Breathe.
Thank you again for your time, Christine. Thank you to Christine for her time. And like we say in that interview, do come on down and see them on the Tuesday night game against Dorking Wanderers and have a chat with Christine. She's very friendly, as are the fellow Rotarians who will be attending. So thank you to her for her time. We're going to continue the link with Raven's chat now as we've got our next guest. And this is our resident guest, if you like, the one and only Roy Oliver. And now for the weekly segment... Yeah. We describe as the gift that keeps on giving. It can only be one segment, and that is Roy Remembers. Roy, welcome back. How are you this week?
I'm fine, Matt, thank you. And you, Josh, you fine?
I'm all good. All good.
Josh wasn't expecting to have to speak then. You've surprised him there. That's Roy's technique that he uses to wake you up.
Yeah, yeah.
He was just dozing off there, wasn't he?
I know he was, yeah.
In all seriousness, Roy, we'll talk about Roy Remembers in a moment.
Yeah.
But how did you feel about Bromley's FA Cup victory last Saturday against Willstone?
Well, I think we played brilliantly first half. We sold in for 3. I mean, just before we scored our first one, they had a great chance of probably putting themselves in a lead. Then we went straight down the other end and scored. And then from then on, I think we dominated the game first half. And second half... they got an early goal back and we started getting a bit jittery and we started leaving a lot of open spaces and all that, and they started having a go at us, which you would expect them to do. You know, you don't take it lying down when you're 3-1 down. You're going to try and get back into the game. But I think overall we were deserved winners. We took our chances.
And were you watching the draw on Sunday? What were your thoughts on that?
I was, and it was coming to near the end of the draw, and I thought, oh, we're going to get Ramsgate. I thought, oh, my Ramsgate at home, then get through to the next round, hopefully. But then we came out the hat, Bromley, and then Blackpool. So, yes, so we've never played them ever in any sort of game. The nearest we've been to Blackpool was when we played Fleetwood in the FA Cup a few years ago.
And that night, the night before, the team actually stayed virtually in the Blackpool Stadium. So there's another connection.
All right, yeah, brilliant, brilliant, yeah. So, yeah, so, you know, it is looking for a good result. Hopefully we can beat them.
Never say never.
Never say never, no, that's right.
Never doubt this team.
Nope, no, and you've got to be in it to win it. So
I've heard you say that before, right?
I know, yeah. Well, you've got to stay in the game, and hopefully you'll get that one magic chance. I just reflect on one game years ago, 1982-83. We played Chertsey in the FA Cup. We won 12-1 away. The next round we played Whitstable Town away, and we played 95 minutes in their penalty area and lost 1-0.
Blimey.
Yeah, so it can happen. Them sort of games, yeah.
They say anything can happen in the Cup.
Yes, yeah. So as long as we stay in the game and we compete, which I've no doubt we will do, the team will be pulling out all the stops to get a result.
So, Roy, this week on Roy Remembers, what do you have for us?
I have another first-round tie, and it's Bromley v Aldershot. Well, in that case, the first game was Aldershot versus Bromley. And you've got to remember, Aldershot were a third division professional club then and doing quite well. So Bromley paid them away. The attendance was about 9,000 there. Bromley took lots of coaches, and lots of people went by train, some went by car. And the game ended up 2-2. George Brown scored both our goals. They were far superior in their passing. But Bromley's dogged defence kept us in the game. So the game went to a replay down at Hayes Lane a few days later, and it was about 8,000 to 10,000 down here. But we lost 1-0. But we missed two penalties. But unfortunately, George Brown wasn't playing in that game. So, and we had Hopper, one of the Hopper brothers. He was literally walking wounded on the pitch. Because remember, now there's no substitutes. So they either came off the pitch or carried on trying to play. So we effectively down to 10 men. But yeah, so we lost 1-0, missed two penalties, but we should have probably won. But nevertheless, we didn't.
Shame,
yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
And you were just telling, actually, Byron Webster, yeah, Michael Cheek and Ben Crowhouse and Louis Dennis about this game, weren't you?
Yeah.
Telling the players of new about the players of old.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Because they've got... Sometimes you have to look back at history, because history does repeat itself over and over again, even in football. So, you know, that game before, when in 82, when we played Chertsey, and then we lost to Whitstable Town, who were Kentley side then, 1-0. So, funny things can happen in football.
They will. They do indeed.
So, at the end of the day, you've got to be in there and competing to win the game.
And you've got the original programmes there from both games.
Yes, I've got the original programmes, yes.
They're in such great condition.
Yeah.
Very, very nice.
Match reports.
Are they all from the local newspapers?
Yeah, and a cartoon as well.
I love the cartoons. We love the cartoons here.
Yeah.
Does that say Bromley versus the fog?
Yes, because the first game at Aldershot was played in quite a bit of fog. So it did sort of keep clearing up and down, like, but...
I can't imagine the floodlights were what they are today.
Oh, no, definitely not. No, definitely not, yeah. Yeah.
So, Roy, are you going to be joining us on Saturday with Jim Brown at the Oxford City game?
I definitely will be, yes. We're up in the venue.
Oh, lovely. Looking forward to it.
Because Caroline's, I think, got four of us up there, so we're having a meal before the game.
Oh, very exciting.
Yeah.
Brilliant stuff, Roy. Thank you, as always.
Moving on then, and we've got a back-to-back doubleheader at the Relocatum Community Stadium for you this Saturday, the 21st of October, and on Tuesday, the 24th of October. First up is the visit of Oxford City, who come into the match in 20th place in the National League table. They've had a bit of a disappointing week. They drew 2-2 away to Scarborough in the FA Cup last week before taking it to a replay at home during the week. They were 2-0 down Oxford City, got it to 2-2 to then lose out in the 91st minute and not take part in the next round of the FA Cup. So a bit of a disappointing one for them. However, they are new into this division and at the moment they're not in the relegation zone. They're doing just about enough. They had a 3-0 victory over AFC Fylde on the 7th and that was their last league encounter. And that is an impressive victory. So it's been a while since we played Oxford City. And we'll be welcoming them back to the Relocatum Community Stadium. Please make sure you are there. You can get your tickets online at bromleyfc.co.uk. It just seems, Josh, like there's a lot of home games at the minute. We've only got Woking, really, that's separating us from almost a month of home games.
We've still got Redbridge, haven't we?
I know we do.
It's not an overly senior game, but yeah, we've even got that one as well.
So as well as the Dorking Wanderers match on the 24th, of course, do get your tickets for that one as well, bromleyfc.co.uk, and make sure you are there to support the team for this doubleheader. We've got the Redbridge match, like you say, in the London Senior Cup. That follows on from the National League match away to Woking on Saturday the 28th, and that is Tuesday the 31st here at the Relocatum Community Stadium, kickoff 7:45. Come on down and enjoy a bit of London Senior Cup action. It's been a while, so come along and, relive some good memories that we've had from the London Senior Cup in the past few years. The Kent Senior Cup, of course, the first match for us in that is next month, 28th of November, 7:45 kickoff away to Dartford. Now, we're nearly there, but it wouldn't be the official Bromley FC podcast Ravens Weekly without hearing from this man.
And you know what? I don't know about you, Matt, but I think this one goes smoothly.
I think this one does go fairly smoothly, yeah. Do you know what? I can't see any issues with this interview at all.
No.
I thought you were in phenomenal form.
I was in top form.
I mean, you know, for you to say that about yourself, you know, you don't often...
I think you do
a great job and you don't often heap praise upon yourself.
Yeah,
but you deserve this, mate. This is a masterclass in interviewing from Mr. Josh Tindall. enjoy, everyone.
Andy, how's the week been?
All right, yeah.
Sorry, that was
that's good. I thought it was
Andy
gonna be
just didn't expect you to speak. Oh, to be honest,
no, I was sure if you knew something I didn't. No, it's been a good week. We've had a clear week to do some work on the grass. No midweek game, so we've worked hard. The lads have really worked hard this week. So yeah, real good week.
And obviously now everything's settled. How would you reflect on? Sorry, I can't do it. I'm completely lost. Matt, just take over. I can't do it.
I've said he's lost mash, it.
He's lost the body.
I jump in.
You've just made him crumble.
I know.
He's just fallen to pieces.
I've been out of place. I'm sorry.
I was going to say that.
Me too.
We look back at Saturday and we talked about post-match about it being a game of two halves. That's probably a way to sum it up, isn't it?
Yeah, I think there's we was brilliant first half, and then for us to go out there second half and be that level again for 45 minutes when you feel like the game's dead is a tough ask. But we should have. There's no doubt about that. They got a goal pretty much just not long after half-time, which then gave them a lift. And I've got to be honest, I made a couple of wrong substitutions. That's not at the players. That's kind of the shape I changed, which I haven't done before. So, I made a mistake there, which made it a little bit harder for the lads. And I said to them, I was just testing them out to make sure they could do the shape and see they came through. But look, that said, I think our remit was to make sure we was in the draw for the next round, and it doesn't really matter how we got there, or we was in. And I think there was more positives than negatives Saturday.
You look at the FA Cup crowds, and you kind of expect when you see a game like that, with the greatest respect, it's two National League teams that have already played each other this year at home, you know, you don't expect necessarily a lot of people to turn up, but the crowd on Saturday for an FA Cup fourth qualifying round game was pretty good.
Well, I'm glad you said that, because I think it's the still the romance of the FA Cup. I mean, and long may it continue. I think it's easy to think at the highest level it's kind of lost its edge a little bit, but it means everything to us at the bottom end of the spectrum, and probably means everything to a little bit of our generation. You know, the FA Cup was what we was all brought up on. So I'm going to probably say that the romance of the Cup probably brought the people out to watch us, which was great.
I know what you're going to say to this, but
yep,
all eyes on the draw on Sunday.
Not interested. I'm going to ask you a question.
So Blackpool at home, thoughts?
Not interested. you know my rules. It come out, I literally had a text from the chairman. He got a blunt reply from me. someone else sent me a text, I blanked it. Look, I'm going to be really brutally honest, and you know what I'm like. I think on Monday I come in, Mick said to me, oh great, I said, don't worry about it, it's done. We're not going to think about it till the week of. We've got three massive games. And I generally mean that. I haven't looked, I couldn't say we're Blackpool on the table. I couldn't say, I know they're playing Orange, of course I do. But we're not interested. You know, what's the point of worrying about Blackpool and getting excited about that game? We've got three massive games. Two at home, one away, and we got to concentrate on those. I want you guys to get interested and excited about it, and I want the fans to, but I want my team just to worry about Saturday now, and that's the most important game, Saturday. And then after that, Tuesday, and then when we get past the Woking game, then we can start getting ahead on it. But I'm not even going to think about it, generally, and I mean that, you know, I think you know me. I think I put a fine out. Anyone talks after 12 o'clock Monday gets fined. So everyone's walking around looking and
I'll
saying,
shut up then.
Yeah, so we'll put you down for a 50 quid there, Matt.
It was great, actually. I got home on Sunday evening and heard you on TalkSport. Obviously, similar setup to what we've got in here. Probably,
not as good as
this. Do you know what? Actually, you joke. It was not too dissimilar. It was nice. Yeah, it was nice to do that, being on TalkSport. I mean, I'm told there's not going to be that many breaks because there was so much sport going on there to keep diving from cricket to rugby, etc. But it was really good. Look, it's nice to do those sort of days where you can put the club on the map a little bit more. You can talk with a little bit more relaxation because you've got your mate on the other side of the table. And obviously on the back of a win, it's nice. So yeah, that was quite a nice event to do, really. And I think they're going to invite me down again. So hopefully
it's not just about me, Bromley, and that. I can probably, hopefully, talk a little bit about the quality of the National League.
We just had Bez Top Lodge on the podcast.
I bet that was boring.
You had a little joke with him as he left the room. Bez, I was going to say, Bez is a player who came in initially on loan, and you know, someone that a lot of fans look at as being a player that's really grown under yourself and Alan Dunn. What's your thoughts on Bez?
Bez is a good player. I think he's got flaws in his game, which he knows, and we've told him many a time. But he's got good qualities. He wants to learn. He's a young man. He's got a good energy around him. He's got a left foot, very good left foot. And he's brought in the most important thing with any player. They've brought in to where they're at. They've brought in to Bromley. He hasn't come here from Millwall and kind of thought, I'm better than this. And, you know, we haven't got any of those, by the way. But some players do that and they just can't get going. He's brought in to Bromley. He's brought in to me. And I've invested my time in him, and my coaches have, Danny particularly. And I think he can go all the way, Bez. I think he can get to a really high level of football, and I see no reason why not. He wants to improve, and I'm delighted. Another good find for us, you know, and delighted Bez is with us. Great lad.
We talked on Saturday about Deji Alerowee being back in the building. That was after only, I think, one day. How's he, obviously no games to judge yet, but how's he been doing and how's he integrated back in?
Deji, as you know, is possibly the nicest human being ever around the building. Smiley, fun, lovely guy. His parents must be so proud of the human being they've brought up. Top, top lad. Kept him onto the pitch. All he's done is kept topping people and nailing people because that's how he plays. He reminds me a little bit of how Chet Tioti used to be. Nicest guy off the pitch, God rest his soul. Get on the pitch, used to kick lumps out of everyone. And Desi's not doing it through nastiness. He can only train that way. So what that does is that raised the level of training then, because the lads are moving the ball quicker because they don't want to get kicked by Deji. So he's been great. He's just moulded straight in. Everyone's looking around, not just with Deji, with everyone now. We've got competition for places, and it's how I want it. But great to have Deji on board. Let's see where he fits in.
And we're talking about the competition for places. You've got a number of young players in that first-year pro bracket as well. One of them is Sam German, who's extended his loan at Herne Bay. And I guess by, you know, how loan spells have impacted the likes of Ben Crowhouse and Kellen Fisher previously, they're really important, aren't they, for these young players?
Yeah, the loans, Sam German, brilliant. He's done really well. They've extended it, so that's always a good sign. And they've all done well, the ones out loan. Marcus Sablé, I must mention him. He's done brilliant. He looks like he's found a home there at Lewis that suits him. So he's doing well. You could go on and on. George, obviously youngster, and Noah, et cetera, et cetera. The loan is so important for these boys. people raise their eyebrows. Why we let George go out? Well, it's got to be better for him to be playing football than sitting on our bench. And that's the same with all these young boys. They have to play. They have to learn their trades somewhere. It doesn't matter what level. They're playing men's football. And I think we've got a nice reputation of having good young players. So clubs are coming to us. Have you got this? Have you got that? And they know that we're honest. We're not just farming out a player to get some money. And we're saying, look, this is a good player. Take him. So that's really important. One for the club, one for the player, and one for our reputation as coaches that we're developing these young players to find a level. Peter Beardsley used to always say to me, always, and I spoke to him in the week, water always finds its level. You got to just keep pushing and pushing and pushing, and then sooner or later, a player will level out, whether it's a Premiership player, a Championship player, a National League player, or South, etc., etc. But you have to keep pushing them to find out what their level is, and we're doing that with the youngsters, and they're all coming back better players, so brilliant.
And two people who we talked about on the podcast before, Adam Marriott and Mitchell Burkhab, it's been great to see them back out there training now. How good is it to have them back?
Well, yeah, great to have them back in the building. I don't think we should get too carried away if they're out there training. They're just literally doing light stuff. They're a little bit away still, in fairness. So Adam, if we see him this side of Christmas, it'll be unbelievable, and it'll be a bonus. And I would probably say Mitchell, if we see him before, I've got it in my head, you know, before middle of November, we've done well. So they've still got a little bit of work to do, as in to get through some sort of tick boxes and for themselves as well. But like you say, great to have them in the building, around the place. And yeah, it's good to see them smiling as well. That's really important.
And now I'm looking ahead to Saturday, Oxford City, the visitors, a new side in the National League.
Yep. I saw them the other day. They never give up. They graft hard. And I can only say that they are not bad. You know, don't let their position in the league kid you. They're not a bad team. So we'll pay them the utmost respect. We will not go into this game thinking, like some people might think, oh, this is going to be an easy game, because as you know, there is no easy games in this league, top to bottom, not one give me game. So we'll pay them the respect. We've looked at them. We know where they're at. And once we've parked all that, we're just going to take care of our business. You know, that's our mantra now. We look at the opposition, we kind of work out where they're good, where they're bad, and then we park that, and then we just really concentrate on us. And that's what we're going to do. We're just going to keep concentrating on our team and how we go about our business, and that is really the message.
I think Josh might have recovered now. Is there anything you'd like to add? I'll give you the opportunity to jump in.
I was just going to say, I know all the supporters really enjoyed those team photos right at the end of full-time, and I know you commented on the women's team last night.
Brilliant, wasn't it? I was buzzing when I saw that. Buzzing.
But what does that mean to you with this whole one club mentality that you've definitely installed since you've been here, just to see that whole thing sort of come together?
Well, I've got to be honest, I've been fortunate enough to work to a lot of big clubs and had really good team spirit. And I do wonder sometimes whether Alan Pardew took me to some of those clubs just to get the group together and play that role. And this club is quite unique. You know, we're all in the same building. We see each other every day. And I kind of, from since I've been here, I've worked closely with Matt since day one in the port cabin. And I feel that, why shouldn't we be one club? Why shouldn't we all be striving and wishing each other the best? Look, the guys in the office, Mick and Hammo and all these team, they're working tirelessly to make sure we've got everything possible on the pitch. The chairman's doing his bit. You guys are doing your bit. The girls are doing a splendid job, you know, a splendid job of carrying the flag for the ladies section that we're building. So, you know, I think it's important that I think from the very top myself, that I do sort of keep carrying the mantra of one club and one team, and we're all together in this journey. So that's something I'm going to keep doing. And the picture, you know, that's come about. In fact, I won't make no secret of it. When my son was at Newcastle, I think the first week Eddie won a match, and he had this picture. And I remember saying to Freddie, that's a bit much, isn't it? You know, like one picture. And then it came a second picture, and then a third. And I kind of think, what a great idea. This get everyone together. And so, you know, I've listened to a lot of Eddie Howe's stuff that he said, and I've studied Eddie Howe. I don't mind making any secret of that, you know. And he's got some real good qualities. And obviously I've heard Freddie speak about him and how he trains and how they go about their business. And I think you'd be hard-pressed to see beyond what he does so well there. So I kind of installed a little bit of that at a lower level. But I thought, well, look, if it works for Newcastle United, why can't it work for us? And everyone's brought into it, you know, and the picture is nice because I think it gives a little insight to the fans when they get home. That's my team. Look at them. They're buzzing as much as we are, because we're buzzing when we win, you know, and I must make this clear. It's no reflection to the opposition we've beat. It's not about that. I saw a Chesterfield fan the other day just tweet me saying, come on, where's your picture now? And I thought, look, it's not aimed at you. It's never aimed at any other club we've played against, and we're enjoying it together. And that was all it ever is, that we're all working together. And I hope it's coming across like that.
And just finally, I know Matt can elaborate a little bit more on it, but just before this interview, we've had, I think, four or five players go out and see the kid for our October half-term camp. How important is that as well, the players and the kids mixing and, you know, hopefully more supporters coming out of it as well?
Well, look, it's brilliant. I wish one of you lot had told me that, because I just had a cut Louis for being late for yoga. So apologies for that, Louis. I've had a right go at Louis downstairs, and he's like, oh, I was doing something. Oh, dear, I've got this wrong, but never mind. So I just spoke to Louis. But no, it's really important. I think it's important that we have a connection with the community. And this is part of this one club. You know, this comes back to that. It's about the community. The guys doing it for the young kids looking up, seeing them training and playing. And I think it's important that the boys do this. And let me make it clear, I don't really get one moan from the players doing anything in the community. So, yeah, they're really good. And other than Louis, I've just had a go at for being late. Yeah, they're really good. And I think I want to make sure that this one club, one team mentality is right across the board in the club and in the community, because I want the community to become part of our team. And that's really important.
I've just got a shout out actually, Sam Woods and Ryan Jones, who were here till 7 o'clock on Monday night, mixing with the coaches and the kids from our soccer schools. And they're not the first who've done that either. So, and I've always said it, the group this year is the best we've ever had in terms of just getting involved. And actually, you see the smiles on their faces. They enjoy it as well. I think they enjoy it. And, you know, you talk about the privilege of being a footballer and having that responsibility. You can see these lads appreciate that.
Exactly that. I mean, look, we're blessed, and you said saying that. I said to my group the other day that this is the best group I've had at this football club, and that's no disrespect to the groups before. There's just something different about this group. There's players going to be disappointed they're left out. There's players going to have the hump they're not on the bench, but you know what? They'll have the hump in the right way, and they'll have the hump. They won't speak to me for a day or two, but they will not lesson on their training. They will not take their foot off the pedal. They'll push the rest of the other group, and there's something special at this group at the moment, and I hope they keep proving me right, not wrong, proving me right, that they are a little bit different from something I've had before.
Well, I think that sounds good, doesn't it?
Yeah. Right, isn't it? It's nice to get together like this.
Yeah, it is.
It's good.
Do it more often.
I know. Do this every week.
Andy, thanks as always for your time. Much
Thank
appreciated.
You. Thank
and
you.
We'll catch you after the game on Saturday.
Thank you. Bye bye.
Brilliant to hear from Andy. He was in great form, just like yourself, Josh, in that interview. So
he's so good.
It is a good laugh.
His interview.
It is a good laugh. I realise how lucky we are to have Andy Woodman in the building.
We've got some bloopers, haven't we?
We've got some brilliant bloopers. Absolutely brilliant.
My favourite one, and this hasn't gone anywhere, but after the Palace friendly.
I don't remember.
Oh, it is good. It's good.
Oh, is it the blah, 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 that one? Yeah. I think I remember Lord Sugar doing that on The Apprentice at one point a few years back. But we're moving on now. We're moving on from that interview and masterclass from you. And we've got not one, but two monthly awards to bring news of, Josh.
We do, yeah. So the first one is a big one. It's the National League Manager of the Month. And although people will say it's a curse, I mean, we won on the Saturday, so
we did.
I know technically it's not a league fixture, so you know, we'll still wait until Saturday, but yeah, really well deserved. September was a really good month for us, and yeah, it was you know, we were unbeaten, and yeah, it was just, you know, you couldn't really give it to anyone else, and Andy wanted everyone to be a part of it. I know we spoke to Roy last week about it, but yeah, he got all the staff involved, the players, and you know, it was really well deserved. And then obviously from a club's perspective, and obviously voted for by the fans, Michael Cheek won Player of the Month. So I think he was a little bit surprised to win it, but
well, it's
well deserved.
Eight goals this season, and like you say, four of them in that month.
Yeah.
Valuable goals. Really valuable goals.
Yeah, exactly.
Well done to Cheeky. And you know what? He just does what he does. And he comes in and he's humble and quiet and down to earth. Doesn't have an ego. And
right,
he's just...
He comes in, he scores goals and he goes home.
Cheek scores goals, my lord.
Yeah.
There we go. And I have to just draw on your point there about Andy and just wanting everyone to be part of the picture. You can see just how much Andy values each and every person behind the scenes here, whether it's a player, whether it's, you know, one of us in the office, whether it's the Broomfield staff, just every single person in this building is part of the club. And it's great to have a manager who has that kind of ethos and gets that across to his players as well. So thank you to Andy for on behalf of all the staff, of course, for involving everyone in that. We've got Jimmy Bullard coming down
on Thursday, the 2nd of November, and you can still join us for that. There are limited places still available. Head over to the website, bromleyfc.co.uk, or check the socials for more information. It's sure to be a real good laugh that night, and I, for one, am very, very much looking forward to it. Executive club places have sold out for the Oxford City game, so that'll be a nice full house upstairs. There is still room, however, for the Dorking Wanderers match on Tuesday, the 24th of October, next Tuesday, if you'd like to enjoy the match in a little bit of luxury and a little bit of style
and a bit of warmth. It's going to be freezing.
It is going to be chilly, and you know what, you and me in the press box, Josh, we've got to start wrapping up a bit better. Actually, you're not bad at it. I always forget my coat. You're all right, actually.
Yeah, I'm prepared.
I forget. I'm not prepared. I forget my coat. But what could help me keep warm?
It's because, do you know why? It's because you think Sophie's going to nick your job. So
it's because I'm on my toes all the time now. That, you know,
full
I'm
focus is making sure
I'm like a, I'm on my toes, and you know, I'm just, I'm ready to go. Yeah. You know, I've got full belief.
Number one.
Are you trying to take my job now?
Oh, I couldn't. Have you heard my voice? I'm surprised they've even let me on this.
Oh, come on, don't do yourself a disservice.
Oh, dear.
I think you're a very good podcast partner, actually. Oh, I feel you've come out of your shell a little bit on this podcast.
Thank you, mate.
He's going to delete this section you watch. But anyway, I was going to try and draw on the point. We're talking about the weather. What can help you, me, Josh, whoever,
keep warm
in these times are the brand new beanies in the club shop. There are two versions available and they are both incredible. The cream one is perfection for me. It looks incredible. And actually, Andy Woodman's been modelling it, hasn't he? He's been walking around in his new beanie hat from the club shop and looking $1 million, let me tell you. So do pop into the club shop and get your new beanies. They are so comfortable. And actually, there's been one or two people walking around with them on their head quite a lot during working hours in the past few days because it is getting a little bit chilly. And I tell you what, I can't really blame them. Josh, I think that's it.
That is it.
I think that's it for today. And thank you all so much. Thank you to Josh, and thank you all so much for listening. Thank you for your support at all of the games, whether they be women's, men's, or under 21s over the past week or so. It's very much appreciated. And most of all, thank you for listening into these podcasts. We do enjoy putting them together. We have a good laugh, hopefully at mainly at mine and Josh's expense. But anyway, that's just what we do, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
Josh, thanks again, and thank you to all of you once more. We'll be back with you next week. Until then, take care. You could have been following the champions of the Champions League. You could have been. What's all this stuff you're giving us? There's just one team for me, and that's the town.